When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In sports, if you want to be the best, there are no off days.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the No Off Days podcast. I'm Scott Smith. We got Chris Cato in his Batman t-shirt, and BK is in the booth. Greeting one, greeting all, and my goodness, do you have a good weekend?
Yes, I'm, the pollen here is kicking my butt.
It is.
There's so much pollen. I've got things running out of my nose and my eyes and my ears. Everywhere there's an opening, I'm having issues going on.
Yeah, I just blew a bunch of pollen off at the house the other day, and then the next day it was all back. So
yeah,
we're not in the cleanup phase yet. Yeah. I did go to the Strawberry Festival for the first time.
You did?
Time,
okay. What do you think?
It was fantastic. I had the strawberry shortcake. It was great. People watching. Did some rides with the kiddos. Did the big giant swing that lifts you high in the air and then wraps you around. I always look at the chains and I think, I'm a big dude. Like, that's not going to hold
me. How good is this chain?
And, but I thought to myself, if this is how I go, then I'm good with that. Yeah. You know,
I was trying to do a nice thing for my family.
Breaks off and I go flying into the, tilt-a-whirl, then I'm good with that. Let's just end it that way.
No.
So, no, but it was a good time. Got some strawberry flavored cuisine and
it's strawberry everything there. And the food is outstanding. Yeah. I kind of consider it kind of a notch above state fair food even.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot to choose from. So we had to choose wisely. Only so many calories we could pack on in one evening. All right. So, last week we told you, we said, hey, brace for it. It's March Madness. We got a big bracket coming. Last year we did the big cereal bracket.
That was
a success. And we did that for several weeks. We try to time it out along with the NCAA tournament. So when it's the Sweet 16 on the basketball side, you're getting our Sweet 16 matchups on the cereal bracket. And all the way down to the championship, the final two. So we are looking for ideas. We are asking you, the viewers at home, listening on the podcast, is there a good idea for a bracket that you think this hasn't been touched yet? You guys need to jump into this topic. We asked for some feedback last week. Chris, I'm curious if you got any feedback.
We did. The viewers listen. There are a few of them out there that have opinions. What made the cereal bracket so, I think, effective was cereal is something people are so passionate about.
Yeah.
Something everyone has an opinion on. So
deadly
some
serious.
People suggested we do candy, like types of candy, whether it's candy bars. To me, if we do that, Kit Kat one seed. It's going to be hard to move me off Kit Kat being a one seed, but I'll listen.
I feel like we've kind of done versions of that during Halloween. We rank our Halloween candies. So
another viewer suggested, this is Butch Goodadre. Butch, I hope I said your name correctly. Butch, let's call him Butch, just Butch. He suggested pizza toppings. What do you think about that? Pizza toppings.
I like it. I've how does pepperoni
That's what I told Butch. You know? And in a nice way, I said, I feel like it's just going to come down to pepperoni.
Yeah. I think everything else plays a great compliment, but there's so many diehard pepperoni supporters out there that it's just just no way.
Who do you think would
had cheese, unless cheese counted as one of your
toppings. I don't know. See, I don't count cheese as a topping. Yeah. Cheese is an integral part of the pizza.
Exactly.
What other topping do you think would make it to the finals against pepperoni?
I think it would be something that you probably wouldn't be suspecting. I think like black olives.
Or mushroom. Maybe mushroom gets in there.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that have strong opinions about mushrooms.
Oh, I do.
In a negative way. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I love mushrooms. But
you like black olives?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you could throw anything on a pizza. I'll eat it.
Dirt?
Dirt. Shoelaces, hair, I'll eat it all. I probably have, too. I got a couple. So Patty and Lutz suggested, and I love this idea, too, Patty, Chris T-shirt bracket.
Oh,
so
that
all
is
the past T-shirts that you've done and you've
one.
Worn, we can kind of put them up against each other.
Yeah.
We could have, like, different regions. Like, this was, like, the Schmedium region,
right?
And this one was... This was your band region.
The rock band region. You know? Then you do this like the smarmy, saying region. Like it's got the cute little logo on it or whatever.
Co-host, yeah.
That's good.
So I got Stan in Dunedin who suggested an 80s hairband bracket.
Oh.
which I think would be fantastic.
How do you get 16 of those though? Are there 16 hair bands?
We'd probably have to lean on actually now's a good time to bring in BK. BK, why don't you come in here?
I mean BK,
this is your sweet spot, right? You're a hair band guy.
Well, I enjoy that stuff.
But once you get past the obvious White Snake, Warrant, Twisted Sister, you know, I don't know that there are 16.
I can give you 16 right now. Def Leppard, come on.
I guess that is a hairband.
Is that one of them?
Yeah, that's where you depend if it's hair or is it kind of like hair / glam, like Poison, like
Meatloaf?
I think Poison would be hairband.
It'd be Poison. Meatloaf? No, Meatloaf's not a hairband.
Meatloaf would fall into another bracket.
He had nice long hair, right?
He did. Maybe you could. Maybe hair band's not a bad idea.
That's a good idea, actually.
The final one I had here, Tina in Largo suggested the idea of a dessert bracket, which is something that...
Ooh. Dessert? That's good.
I feel like we could probably get behind. As long as there was free samples to demonstrate.
Broad, though, dessert is broad. Like, what, you know, is this just pies, cakes, what you would see on a dessert menu at a restaurant, or is this like, you know, there could be, you mentioned your grandmother made these Buckeyes, like the peanut butter balls. Like, does it get that broad? I mean, is ice cream? You put that on there?
Yeah, I would think that's a dessert, right?
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we had a fantastic dessert when we were in Daytona a couple weeks ago. We dined at an establishment that named BJ's that had, what was it called?
Pizookies.
Pizookie, yeah.
Oh, I've seen those.
Oh, my
goodness.
It's a
pizza cookie, right?
Yeah, it was, I don't know what that, it was heaven.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was amazing.
So that's a one seed or a two seed in the bracket.
Yeah, it's just so niche, you know, like, it was kind of like last year when I was trying to convince everybody that, like, Life or, you know, the Cinnamon Chex, like, those are your best cereals. It's just not... The populace has not branched out enough to know that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be the one to introduce them to some, you know, it'll be an upset. So.
I had a couple of not so good suggestions. I don't want to say anything's bad because we do ask people for your ideas. No such thing as a bad idea. But Jeff and Sebring suggested we do a birds bracket.
Birds?
I kind of feel like we have to say
like
Bald Eagle.
Larry.
Oh, Larry, yeah. I guess could be. Or Sue Bird. Lady Bird Johnson, great first lady. But, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I don't want to talk about – I don't really like flamingos.
Well,
I don't want flamingos to make a deep run. That's what I don't want to have.
Yeah,
and you know they would in Florida. Flamingos would go far.
Yeah. Well, I think you get a strong, small but strong populace of people that like that topic. But
yeah.
BK, anything on your end?
Sharks. Like top 16 sharks?
Yes, I like that idea.
How about that?
Yeah, I think Scott would want to weigh in on that.
the most ferocious man eater?
Oh,
like that's out of all of them? Okay.
The cutest sharks.
The ones you just like to
they're
tap
adorable,
on those.
Aren't they? Little water demons.
Lemon
right.
Shark.
BK, what do we have on today's program?
Oh, good show tonight. We got just when you thought the NFL was kind of slowing down and everything, boy, they come out just out of blue. Big signings, big cuts. Happened just this week. We'll delve into that, talk a little bit about that. And then at the end of the show, we haven't done it in a while, and the people have been hammering me about it. Let's get the Nod Pod Gazette fired up again.
It's
do some headlines.
Minute. Yeah, it's about time.
Oh, those people got to earn their pay back there.
Yeah, now, does the Nod Pod Gazette, is it always producing headlines and we just dip into it, or... does it only produce headlines when they appear on our show?
Yeah, it's like
they
a tree
always.
Falling.
It's a continual publication.
Okay.
Yeah. Now the subscription is not too strong.
Yeah.
But you know, they ramp it up when it's they know we're going to be on the TV show.
That's what we're here for. We're trying to drum up some more subscriptions.
Right.
So get out there and we'll have it delivered. Brian is actually the paper boy that delivers the Nod Pod Gazette. So
he'll come through it on your doorstep.
4:30 in the morning. You want to see BK? He'll be out there. All right. Very good. Thanks, Brian.
Awesome,
if you are listening and you want to watch, go to fox13news.com/nodpod. If you're watching and you want to listen or subscribe, take out your phone, zap the QR code on your screen. And in the bottom right-hand corner, you can find all of our shows. Please subscribe, fox13news.com/nodpod. So as Brian alluded to, a couple big stories right out of the gates here this week. Mike Evans. This kind of comes out of the blue, Chris, because, you know, all the discussion leading up to this was, you know, there's reports that he's going to dive into free agency and he's going to explore all the options. He's going to explore the space, right? But here we are a week before free agency hits, and he's locked down. Another two-year contract with the Bucks. He's not going anywhere. He posts some, like, the meme of Leonardo DiCaprio. What's the movie? You know, where he's like, I'm not going anywhere, you know?
Was it Wolf of Wall Street? No,
I think that was it. Yeah. I think that was it. So he's returning. He's happy to return on a two-year, $52 million contract. I believe 35 of that is guaranteed money. Pretty good for a 30-year-old wide receiver on a third contract. Apparently, that is the first time that anybody has ever received that kind of dough that late into their career as a wide receiver. But I mean, honestly, when you watch the guy play, age is not the deal, right? No. Age is not the concern with him, at least at this point, unless there's some drastic fall off that happens at some point, which, you know, any player is prone to have that happen. But to this point, I'd say a two-year deal, you're probably pretty safe.
Yeah, he hasn't been injured a lot, you know, gets a hammy sometimes.
Yeah,
but
every once in a while that hammy starts to tighten up a little bit, but I think it's going to be nice and loose with this money, right?
You know, I love that he bet on himself because they were kind of having these discussions going into last season, and we all wondered, and then they cut off talks, and he played great, you know, had one of his best years. And so to come back and do this, I think it also just speaks to how much he wants to retire as a Buccaneer, and he feels that same kind of love back from the fan base and the community here. I mean, off the field, there aren't many players who have done as much as Mike Evans and his family for the area. So it's a win-win.
Big part of the community. And I think that sometimes we look at NFL players or professional athletes as, you know, like the place that they live is simply just a team that they're a part of. It's just a business kind of deal. But they're part of the community. And I think for a lot of athletes that play here in the Tampa Bay area, there's something about this region in particular that people want to stay for a long time. It's very it's almost like a small town. It's a big TV market. It's a big sports market. But it almost has a small town feel to it. And it's super livable. I think everything is here. Obviously, you get the beautiful water. People, you know, most of them are probably living on the water.
Yeah, Mike Evans loves the fish.
There's just a quality of life that I think that they have here that they really enjoy. And you got young kids, and you know, you got a family. You're growing here. It's hard, you know, for even an athlete to sit there and say, hey, we're going to uproot and leave. If he has the option to stay, I got to think that plays a big part of it for him. But I do kind of wonder, like, what happened in the negotiations? Like, why do you hear all this stuff about, hey, he's going to free agency, and then all of a sudden he's back? I mean, there was, I think it was NBC Sports Talk or some one of those pro football talk that came out with an article about how, like, this is an example of the tampering that goes on during the NFL Combine, that, you know, and they kind of they posited this suggestion that maybe it was Mike Evans' agent that did some fishing during, because obviously discussions are being had during Combine week, right? You know, all the execs are there. There's agents there, the players there. That they're basically putting feelers out for what the market's going to look like for Mike, and you know, they suggested that it wasn't going to be as
lucrative as maybe he thought.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that could be the case. But honestly, I'm kind of leaning toward the fact that I think that Mike just really wanted to be here.
Yeah.
And I think that this was a very competitive offer. I don't know that, you know, out in the free agency, that there's teams that are really going to go much more beyond that. I mean, we're looking at $25+ million on average a year. Maybe they link him like another year. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a 3-year contract, something like that, a little bit more money guaranteed. But at one point you have to value, is it worth it? You know, like, is it worth, you know, signing that extra year to try everything over again with a new team? He's been here for a decade. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot that goes into that. So,
glad to have him back, though.
He's back. Now the next thing is we got to get Baker Mayfield.
That's it. Maybe that's what changed, is his people got word that that the Bucs are going to make it happen with Baker.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, that's all I need to hear.
Well, I have a feeling that's going to get done real soon. So, but yeah, you got to get Mayfield and then obviously Winfield and if there's any other field.
All the fields. Justin Fields.
Probably maybe. Not. Not if you get Mayfield. I don't think you need Justin Fields. But how about this? Off the field in Denver is Russell Wilson.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, this is not like a huge surprise. I think a lot of people kind of anticipated this was happening. But the Broncos get rid of this guy. And have you seen the dead cap hit that they're incurring with this?
Yeah, $85 million. Right?
$85. I mean, that's putting Tom Brady's dead cap hit to shame. This is an NFL record in terms of dead money. $85 million spread out over 2 years. So Denver's going to eat $39 million, but they avoid this $37 million guarantee right. that was looming.
Wow.
But this is just one of the – I mean, Russell Wilson – at his peak, was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So this is not to take anything away from him, but clearly the last 2 years in Denver have been not on brand.
Right.
Right? So, but this has to be one of the worst deals in NFL history.
It's got
to
be.
They gave up, let's see, let's go back to the initial trade for him. The Broncos gave up 5 draft picks, 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and then they signed him to a 5-year, $242 million contract. And what did he produce in that time? They went 11-19. They had, in those 2 years, one of the worst offenses in the NFL, averaged less than 19 points a game. I mean, I know that like we've looked at big, bad contracts in the past, and obviously because it's more recent and more money is being spent, the more recent ones feel worse. But, yeah. I mean, there was obviously Albert Haynesworth was one of the worst ones. He ended up signing with Washington after he had like 2 Pro Bowl years, and he was just a shell of himself. And I think they traded him for like a 5th-round pick to the Patriots or something like that. Brock Osweiler, another one of those quarterbacks, he signed a big deal with the Houston Texans after he was kind of like this – you know, he played for the Broncos, right?
Yeah.
And he was like this, oh, promising. He was kind of like a Scott Mitchell type guy when he played with the Dolphins, and they bought it, and he didn't pan out. Le'Veon Bell, another one of those guys that just gets the big money, and then they don't perform. So
the Deshaun Watson deal not looking great so far.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. That's, I would say that's in there for sure.
Broncos are making the Browns feel a little better.
Yeah. So I don't know. Where do you think Russell Wilson ends up? I mean, I think there's still going to be a market for him, and because he's, you know, Denver's on the dime right now, you could probably get him for a pretty good deal.
I like this isn't an original Cato idea, but I like the thought of him going to Pittsburgh. I feel like that the Kenny Pickett thing isn't working out so well. No, no. I still think even if Pickett, if you think he's okay, I still think Wilson's an upgrade. And I think they need someone like him in that locker room, right? I mean, you got these diva receivers that kind of need like a strong presence in that locker room. So
I can see that. I just wonder how much that really sets back, because this is Pickett's, this would be his 3rd year, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be, 3rd year. They released Trubisky, so I think it would be interesting. You know, I could see it would be wild. But what if he went to the Raiders in the same division as the Broncos? I mean, what they're done with Garoppolo, right?
I don't know what Garoppolo has left on his deal. Are they looking for a new quarterback?
They got, you know, remember Aiden O'Connell finished
that
the season.
That could make a lot of sense. Yeah, that's
Aiden
right.
O'Connell, but I don't know that he's the future.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up in Atlanta, honestly.
Yeah.
And they're kind of needing something, and they can go for a bridge quarterback. I could see him going with probably not the Giants, because I think Danny Dimes still has
some time. Well, the Vikings. What if Minnesota moves on from Captain Kirko?
Yeah, they could. They could. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even Washington. I could see that potentially being a bridge situation. If they go out and they draft a quarterback with that number 2 overall pick, you know, are they going to throw him into the fire right away?
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
I mean, they may continue on with Sam Howell until the rookie's ready to go, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, it depends on what you're paying the guy, right? I mean, you know that he's got pedigree, he's got experience, he's talented in the right system. You'd think that he'd be able to produce to some level, and it was just a bad fit in Denver. At least that's kind of what the assumption is. But, yeah, it's wild to think about.
I also think if Sean Payton couldn't get more out of him, who else can?
Yeah, I feel like that thing was just soured from day one. I mean, it was just – it was something about his move to Denver. I mean, because the mix with Nathaniel Hackett was awful. I mean, just from the word go, it was just a bad mix. And so, I don't know, maybe a change of scenery produces some better results, or maybe, you know, Wilson's like, hey, I've got my money, and I'm ready to call it a career.
Won a Super Bowl, didn't he? He's got that. Yeah.
He's got that going for him, for sure. All right, very good. Coming up on the other side, Chris, you know, the college football playoffs are happening this year. And, well,
12 teams.
I feel like we've talked about it every week. And so we can't wait for it to get here. But there's a new format that they're discussing.
Yes.
And so we're going to discuss that on the other side when the No Off Days podcast continues.
That seems like a good place to do it.
I think so. Welcome back to the No Off Days podcast. Chris, it is easily our most favorite topic here on the podcast, and that would be the playoff coming to the college football season this year. And they're trying to figure out exactly what that's going to look like. You know, a couple of weeks ago we had mentioned that they're going to ditch the six plus six look.
Yeah.
And they were going to probably go to the five.
They approved. I believe it's
the
official
five,
now.
5-7. So you had five automatic bids. Those are your four quote-unquote power conference teams, the highest-ranked group of five team, and then seven at large. Right.
Yep.
But now there's a new discussion happening.
Yes.
And there's a lot of people's feathers are getting ruffled, I think, a little bit with this one. And I could see why. So it's a 14-team playoff suggestion, which, hey, on its face, you know I'm a buyer.
Yeah.
And more teams, the merrier. Let's bring it on. But they have three SEC automatic bids.
Mm-hmm.
Three Big Ten automatic bids, two Big 12 automatic bids, two ACC automatic bids, and then one group of five. So we are talking about 11 automatic bids already before we get to the at-large and whoever is next
to
the
you get three at-large, and one of those will go to Notre Dame.
This is just right, yeah. This is just so ridiculous to me. Like, why? Why do we have to have – why do we have to create a minimum for these power conferences?
Well,
the richest, the wealthiest, the most talented, the teams that are going to take advantage of the transfer portal the most, these teams are they're already going to be represented. The whole reason things are shuffling around is because of these power conference teams. We don't need to make minimums for them. If anything, I think we need to have maximums.
Like cap it?
How many teams?
Like
exactly. I mean, if you really want to set the table and have everybody kind of have a seat or at least have a shot at the seat. But it really, to me, like, what's the point of a committee now? Like, you're picking.
Well,
picking three teams.
Someone still has to rank them, right? I mean, someone rank them.
I would assume that your three automatic bids are your top three teams in your conference.
Well, according
so one, two, three in the SEC automatic, right?
Well, according to Brett McMurphy, it would be the SEC's conference champ and then the next two highest ranked teams. So you got to have someone ranking these guys. Same thing for the Big Ten.
Okay, so it's not a conference finish,
right?
Ah. Okay, still hate it.
But you know, this, and just like for context, so, okay, this year coming, 2024, 2025, we're still doing the 12 team, which we're not even used to yet. The reason they're discussing expanding is that in 2026 season, this TV contract is getting rebid.
Okay, so this is not a 14-team playoff for this upcoming season.
Right, no, we still have 2 years of the 12 team that we haven't even done yet. So 2 years of 12 team.
Okay.
And now they're renegotiating the college football playoffs TV contract, and reportedly ESPN has offered to bid $1.3 billion for the next 10 years starting in 2026. Mm-hmm. But, okay, what does that look like? How many games do we – how much inventory do we have? That's why they have to decide on this.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thinking here is that obviously the SEC and Big Ten are driving these discussions because they are each guaranteed three in. They control 40% of the spots every year. More cash is going into their pocket. I feel like that it's either the other conferences had to go along with this, because if the Big Ten and SEC, they hold all the cards. If they say, okay, you don't want to do it our way, then you know what? We're going to break away from the NCAA entirely. So, you know, you guys have to be happy with this.
Why is that a threat?
Well, it's a threat because of where we are now. Why are we where we are now? Because the Big Ten and SEC expanded and took major programs from these other conferences. So
right, but if they run away from the NCAA, how is that a problem?
Because they're going to take other – okay, we're going to – SEC will say, okay, you guys don't want to do this, then we're going to take Florida State and Clemson and Miami, and Big Ten's going to say, all right, we'll take NC State and North Carolina, and they'll grab some from the Big 12 too, and those two conferences are gone.
Yeah.
Like, so I think this is the only – like the Big Ten and SEC are offering these other conferences and the group of five a chance to hold things together and get a slice of the pie. You're not going to get as much of the pie as we're getting, but we're going to give you a little slice, or the whole thing collapses and there's no more Big 12 and ACC.
Yeah, but isn't there a – it comes down to, like, every conference every conference commissioner has to vote, right?
And yes.
Plus Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the other nine voters, mm-hmm. non-SEC Big Ten commissioners, are scared that these two conferences are going to run away from the NCAA.
And take a lot of their schools with them, more of their schools with them, more of their programs with them.
Okay. And just create basically a different...
Some super league. Yeah, some super
league.
Yeah,
I get that. I mean, they could also do that too, right? Could they not then do that? I mean...
The smaller conferences? I mean, well, the other.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't the Big Ten, the remaining ACC teams, and whatever? I mean, couldn't you form something else, some other body? I mean, what's the point?
If the Big 12 and ACC broke away, would there be? I mean, how much interest in that would there be? People are more. There's going to still be more money, more fan interest behind what the Big Ten and SEC are doing.
Yeah, there would be more.
I mean, I don't think the ACC is going to be a thing in a couple of years, in football at least. I mean,
right, but college football is not necessarily a zero sum game. Like, it's not that there's only so many shares. Like, there's all these other teams in the ACC and the Big 12 that have fan bases, that have TV contracts,
sure.
that are playing in big markets,
right.
That there's interest in there.
But
obviously there's bigger teams in the SEC and the Big Ten right now, but I don't understand why you'd run away from this simply because you couldn't get three automatic bids from your – that seems so trivial and silly, because the reality is we could just run this thing full at large and just say, hey, we're going
all at large.
Oh, that would be great.
Like, I wish that's what they would do.
Right. And you'd probably still get
at least three
every year.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, it would be silly to blow everything up and just – you're cutting off basically half of the other college football teams in the nation.
Yeah.
That still have big fan bases, and you know, for as much as you've kind of congregated all these college football powers in these two conferences, like, college football is still so much bigger than just those two conferences. It's not just that.
Yeah.
I think that, like, I think it would be a foolish move on their part to sit there and say, we don't need anybody else. We're going to create our own football league out of the SEC and the Big Ten, and we're going to do our own thing. And you guys are on your own. I think that would be a foolish decision. I think that college football is so great because you have 120 plus teams that are all in the mix. There's a variety in scheduling each and every year that you get to be a part of and watch, you know. It's not just watching conference football every year.
Yeah.
Like, those are great, you know, but, like, at the same time, like, we like the big time matchups from other teams and other conferences. But yeah, I'm kind of leaning toward now just saying all at large.
Well, I think that would be the best, but that's just not going to happen when the Big Ten and SEC control the purse strings. Like, they're going to have it their way, and if they don't get it their way, they're going to go do something else, and they're going to take your biggest programs in your conferences with them, and your conference isn't going
to
get anything.
Well, then what's to stop them from saying, okay, we're going to do a 14-team playoff, and we're going to have six automatic bids from both the SEC and the Big Ten. So you guys get two. That you guys can have.
Nothing stopping them from doing that. They're probably being kind and offering these three at large
spots.
Well,
I think that the way you're looking at it is, I mean,
I'm not saying I support this. I'm just saying this is what's driving this.
But do you think that they hold all the power?
I think they hold most of the power, yes.
I think that they hold a good deal of it, but I don't think they hold all of it.
Well, they
to be able to sit there and act like
they could pull
we're
Jenga,
just blow
they
up.
Could pull the Jenga blocks that cause the ACC's House of Cards and the Big 12s to fall apart, right? I mean, that's kind of what these other conferences are looking at this and saying, oh boy, no, we hate this. Like, why do they get three automatic bids and we just get two? But you know what? Getting a share of this revenue would be better than having nothing at all, or having less than we would get if we were to just not have, you know, any association with this Big Ten.
I think the ACC and the Big 12 need to form now their own power conference between the two. And take the best of those. And now you have a three-headed monster.
Maybe
we're headed a little bit better.
Maybe we're headed to something like that. I don't know. But, you know, it's wild and woolly. And as we've learned, this could change six times between now and then. I just want to get – we're in spring now, so these college programs are hitting the spring practice fields now. And it allows you to kind of look at some of these things happening on the field and not worry about the structure of all and the money and everything that has become, which is NIL. And
yeah, it's a huge distraction, and it takes away from it, obviously. But since you're a college football purist at heart, what are the big storylines you're paying attention to this spring as you watch your Crimson Tide hit the spring football practice field?
Well, and which they did as we taped this on Monday. This was their first Monday of the Kalen DeBoer era. Yeah. So that's it. You know, tunnel vision on this hire. How do you go from Nick Saban, his 17 years and what he's established there? You know, it couldn't last forever. You do the coaching search. A lot of people seem to like Kalen DeBoer. A lot of people in the Alabama
world. Would you consider yourself one of those people?
I've talked myself into it.
Okay. Yeah, I think you kind of have to.
I do. I think he's
he's your new daddy.
He's our new daddy. We're going to – you know what? I think his resume is great, but I also don't know if he knows what he's getting into in terms of just this world of SEC football. And, you know, he's a smart guy, obviously. So. Yeah.
But he's probably figured it out by now.
Yeah, he probably has. But if you lose three, like this fan base, if you lose three games, which you're probably going to do.
Well, you get an automatic bid. So
how much rope is this fan base willing to give him if you lose to Auburn, if you lose to LSU, if you lose to Tennessee? I don't know. I hope they're patient with him. So, yeah, I'm looking at that. I want to see in other areas. I want to see Ohio State has bought the best roster that money can buy, and now they've got Chip Kelly as their OC. Ryan Day.
How about Chipper?
Ryan Day has said he's not going to call plays this coming season.
No,
you know,
I would.
He's turning that over. So I feel like this is they're built to win now. So I want to see if they can actually do that.
Yeah.
You know, with this star-studded cast.
The whole Chip Kelly move is – I mean, it was just – it's such a weird move. You know, you're the head coach at UCLA. You're heading to the Big Ten, but you're anticipating not having success. I'm just assuming. You're anticipating not having success this year. And so you say, you know what, before I get fired – I'm just going to jump off this train, and this is the next best train to get on, right?
Well, like, he tried to get on some NFL trains, and they didn't want him on board.
I don't know. This is like a pretty good
jump.
This
is a great train.
I mean, it's heading somewhere further, faster than and he's going to get an opportunity to kind of relaunch his brand without taking the dip.
He's going to have talent that he never had, probably not since he was with the Eagles. He's going to have that kind of talent at Ohio State, and so it will be interesting to see what he can do with that offense there.
Yeah, you know. But if they don't beat Michigan, looking at head coach Chip Kelly of your Ohio State Buckeyes next year, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, but it's fun. You know, there are a lot. It's going to be interesting. It's a new era for a lot of programs out there, and we shall see.
All right, on the other side, we're going to dig into a little bit of baseball news, because I don't know if you heard this, but one of the best promotions for like nearly three decades in Major League Baseball came to a sad and disappointing end this past week, Chris, and we're going to discuss it on the other side, when the No Off Days podcast continues. Chris, have you had the opportunity to go to a spring training game yet this year?
Haven't been yet, but shout out to my Uncle Wally and Aunt Melissa, who are in town from Alabama making their annual – they do this every year. Wally's a retired baseball coach. They come down and hit all the parks in Florida here, on this side of Florida.
What a great idea. I know that that's a thing that a lot of Northeasterners usually do. They come on down. Yankee fans come to Tampa. They could stay here and then bounce around to the other ballparks. And there's so many really good parks here. And it's most of them are a far drive. So there's a couple that I want to hit this year. I'm always
You like your Tigers in Lakeland, don't you?
The Tigers in Lakeland's a fun one. I like the evening games at Steinbrenner Field for the Yankees when you can catch an evening game.
Nice
there.
Sunset.
Yeah, it's nice. The weather's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a tradition that's been going on with the Philadelphia Phillies. Not at their Clearwater facility, but in Philadelphia, Citizens Bank Park for 27 years now.
Yeah.
Dollar Dog Night at the ballpark, Chris.
Yeah.
Where, you know, obviously it's the name is in it, right? This night you get to pay $1 for a hot dog. And I think you could enjoy up to, is it four or five hot dogs per
I thought it was limitless. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's, but I'm saying per visit to the concession.
Oh, right. You can walk
you
away
can
with
get like four, I think.
But
it is.
You can go back.
Yeah. It's nonstop.
If you got a dollar.
The lines are huge.
Yeah, the lines are huge.
So you're going to miss a lot of the baseball game. so that you can just, you know, gorge yourself on you know,
processed meat. Yeah.
Yeah. And who doesn't want to do that? But here's the thing, you know, like some bad apples ruin it for the whole gang.
This right? is so sad.
So it's, there's a big food fight that happened. Was it last year?
Last
right?
April. Yeah.
And people are throwing, you know, these their weenies all over the park. And, you know, this is just it's a scene. They're being thrown down on the field.
It stopped the game.
There's a food
this
fight.
This happened twice.
There were two. Because they're a dollar, right? So it's like, hey, why not? Let's make a mess of it. It's kind of like that scene from Hook. Remember Hook? Yeah. So, like, there's a big food fight, and now they're saying, oh, okay, we're going to kill that. And so they've come back with two-for-one dog knife.
Yes.
So now you're paying $5.
Regular dog price is $5.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're still limiting, I think it's, you know, four dogs per purchase. But you're paying now $10 for four dogs, which is a lot different than $4 for four dogs.
So you might, the point being, you might value those dogs a little more and not throw them at the person in front of you when they anger you.
I just think, yeah, why would we do this?
And, like, why would we throw wieners at each other?
Why would we start a food fight? Okay. But I think the Phillies were, here's my point. Phillies were looking for an excuse.
Yeah.
Right? They realized that they were probably losing
bleeding money on this
deal.
Yeah.
And it's not good. I mean, they already have a good product on the field.
They don't need
goodness
to draw.
Goodness knows they're paying Bryce Harper enough, and apparently he wants more. So he wants more of that dog
money.
This
is why they're doing this,
right.
to
like,
pay
well,
him more.
He's got 8 years left, but we're going to keep paying him. So, they obviously have a good product on the field, so they don't need to entice people to come down to the ballpark. Though they will. You know, every team does their ballparking incentives and, you know, the little promotionals that they do. But they don't need to do this, so I think they're just trying to find a way to save money. And I don't like that because I like that there's an aspect of nostalgia in baseball. Like, tradition should carry on.
Yeah.
If nobody's being harmed, I mean, honestly, how bad could you get hurt if a hot dog hit you at full speed?
Does it have pepper on it and relish and stuff? I don't know.
Let's say it's a tightly bunched in your foil.
Oh, if it's in the foil, you could whip that thing probably
you think so?
Pretty well. Yeah,
okay.
You could get
I don't think anybody would be harmed. I don't think anybody be harmed.
I think it was more of the fact they had to stop a game because these things are getting thrown onto the field. And it just looks, you know.
I saw one hot dog getting thrown on the field. Was there more?
Well, you didn't. Well,
maybe
you
I saw a different
a Brewers game. There were four large hot dogs running around doing a race. Yeah, I think it was more of the you know, what do you call it? It was a bad look.
Bad look.
Yeah, it was a bad look for the you know, the Phillies are trying to get away from this reputation that we throw batteries at Santa Claus. We don't need hot dogs getting thrown on.
Well, that's an improvement though, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Mean, yeah. Well, you know, the last thing you need is Bryce Harper hitting the IR because, you know, he has like some type of, you know, pork product stuck in his eyeball or, you know, it's like he's been, you know, sliced in the face by a bun. So, obviously we don't want that. Anyway, it's very sad, and it's one of those promotions that I think that fans look forward to, but it kind of got me to thinking to the best ballpark promotions that you can recall, or if you've done some Googling. You know, I obviously bobbleheads. I'm a fan of bobbleheads, and I'm a small-time collector of bobbleheads.
You got a few? Yeah.
I got a few in the sports office. So those are always fun, and the more creative, there's bobbleheads that are pretty creative out there. But do you have any on your list?
I don't have a great bobblehead collection. I need to improve that. But some of the best ones I've seen recently was that last season the Kansas City Royals did a, and now there's a team that needs to give people a reason to come to the ballpark. They did a Bo Jackson wall climb catch bobblehead. We all remember that iconic play where he, you know, climbs, has this feed on the wall and climbs up, and the bobblehead looks awesome. Like, it's got him climbing the wall there. That's a good one. I like that one. This was good. Back to Phillies, though, a couple years ago, they did a – no, wait. This was when he was with the Nationals. They did a Bryce Harper chia pet. So, you know, he's known for his locks, his hair. And so this chia pet is Bryce Harper's head, but it grows the hair. You
that's
know, and
awesome.
That was when he was with the Nationals.
Was it the beard too? Did they do the beard as well?
Yeah, it's a very versatile chia pet. It looks
wonderful.
But no, I didn't get that one.
I know years ago the White Sox had mullet night, which was awesome, and I think every team should probably do that.
Encouraging fans with mullets. Do you get a discount? Like you get a free entry?
I don't know what the deal is. I think it's just they're celebrating mullets, but I would assume that you get some type of discount if you should have a mullet. You know, they usually have like the kids get to run the bags promotion,
right,
like after the game. You know, the Rays always do it. The little kids get to go down the field, run around the bags. The Phillies years ago, they had a senior stroll where it was like only people older than 55. Could get down there and run around the bases.
Oh, I bet that was
Isn't
entertaining.
Isn't that adorable?
I bet that was cute.
Some older folks out there.
Yeah.
You got to pick up those feet, though.
Don't break a hip.
Yeah, maybe a walker or two trying to make the turn at second. Yeah.
I like the Dodgers last year had the Kobe Bryant jersey giveaway. This was pretty cool. Did you see it? It was the number 8. The Dodgers, like the Black Mamba model, and had Bryant on the back. And, you know, that's a nice jersey. That's one where you could resell that and make some money. Like,
yeah,
if you're one of the first, I think, you know, 5,000 people in the gate there. That's a good one. I like the Rays. You know, the Rays give away some cool swag sometimes. Like
they do.
I think this year they have the Flappy Boy hoodie is one that I've seen on their calendar. I think that's getting a lot of buzz there.
The Flappy Boy hoodie?
Yeah, you know, the Flappy Boy being unofficial name of the Ray mascot. What's his name?
Okay, yeah.
He's a stingray. So he's Flappy, and they call him Flappy Boy. And
why did I not know that?
I don't know. But now he's got his own hoodie. So
How about that?
People are buzzing over that.
Yeah. Well, my kid's got a bunch of their old promotional things. He's got sleeves and hats that they've given away. So that's good stuff. One of the worst promotions was back in 1974, Chris. It was 10-cent beer night in Cleveland. And how about this promotion? So back in 1974, 10-cent beer. I believe the average cost of a beer back then was like 60 cents. So this was still a nice discount.
It was still a good discount.
But the limit was 6 beers per purchase, okay? So we're not going to let you spend more than 60 cents, okay, per purchase.
6 beers,
but
though, that's...
no limit on how many purchases throughout the night.
Oh.
People are just getting slobber-knocked, okay? And this is happening throughout the course of the game.
How did they not run out of beer by, like, the fourth inning?
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe it did because the night led to, like, all types. There was a riot that broke out. Like, there's firecrackers being thrown out on the field. In the ninth inning, they actually had fans run out onto the field. They rushed the field.
You got,
and at that point they're thinking, you know what, this 10-cent beer night was going wonderful.
And the marketing manager
whose idea was this?
Yeah, he was fired. I'd much rather have hot dogs on the field than this.
Yeah,
that's a bad one. Yeah, anytime it leads to chaos and violence and bases being torn off the field.
Well,
you
now
don't
it would
see
be
that.
Considered a promotion if you just had $10 beer night. You know?
Yeah, that would be
like,
a steal.
That would be something else, right?
Yeah.
It's sad that we can't have the Dollar Dog Night at the Phillies facility, but you know, I guess you could always sneak your own into the park.
You could, unless your pants are transparent like the players. then it's tough to get them in there.
All right, have we exhausted the promotional?
I'm good. No, I'm ready to hit the ballpark though, and have a dog and a beer.
That sounds good. Yeah, they always have, like, you know, our Sean Berry. He does little ballpark visits every spring. And he always does, like, he does these little things. They go on our website. The reviews on the kind of food and cuisine that they have.
Yeah.
And every ballpark has, like, their own thing, like a tri-tip sandwich or, like, some type of fancy nachos. And so
the cool thing is, like, it, you know, it also marries the whatever their ownership team is. So, like, our you have the Orioles that play down in Sarasota, I believe. And they do, like, a great crab cake. Because, you know, that's their thing there. Yeah. So you can find something.
Toronto,
obviously.
Do they do poutine?
I'm going to say that Sean had that there. He had the poutine there. Yeah, you know.
Very good.
Clearwater Phillies. You got the cheesesteak.
All right. Coming up on the other side, we are going to dive into some headlines. That is right. The No Off Days podcast. The Nod Pod Gazette is coming up on the other side. BK will be back with us. See if we can decipher truth from fiction on the other side. Welcome back to the No Off Days podcast. During the break, Chris, you found another great promotion, which was, of course, the vuvuzelas that were given away. Rays, Marlins a few years ago.
Yeah, 2010.
What happened to vuvuzelas?
Have you heard them? They need to all be broken.
They were the cat's meow. That was the big thing.
That was a hot thing. There was an Olympics too, I think, where people were.
I think it was World Cup.
Yeah, World Cup. Yeah. They were giving them. That was awful sound.
What happened to the vuvuzela? All had one.
Yeah. I found another interesting baseball promotion too. Yeah? Do you want to hear it?
Maybe.
Wet t-shirt night at Fulton County Stadium in 1977.
Yeah, I didn't want to hear it. Yeah.
Well, okay. What an idea, right?
What a night. Yeah. Oh, what a night. All right, let's bring in BK. BK, were you there? 1977, right?
Yeah.
No, not there. But my first, as a kid, my first promotion I ever got was a legit bat from the Braves game. Braves and Dodgers, I think my dad took me to go see. It was a cool blueberry-colored bat.
It was wooden?
Yeah, it was wooden. Wow. They gave it to you before you walked in, so you had all these kids.
Weapons. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Had it forever until I busted up playing it out in the backyard. But, yeah, good promotions there.
Yeah, that was back when promotions were really something. You know, but it probably was like the first, 500 people that got there, right?
I don't recall, but I remember just seeing a ton of bats up in the air and everything when every time the Braves scored or something happened.
You know what drives me crazy on these promotion nights where you have the cool bobblehead? I went last year, took my son to a Rays game. An important player. It was an important player's bobblehead night. Everyone showed up early.
Who was it?
It's a guy who may not be on the roster anymore. Everyone showed up early to get it. And of course, we didn't get – they were all gone by the time we got through the line. And then you see the opposing fans, the fans of the opposing team, walking around with six of these things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey.
And they're going to go sell them.
Can I get one for my son? No, I'm good.
Kato, come back to sports. I got that Andrew Kittredge bobblehead.
That was the one. Yeah. That was the one I wanted.
Oh, man. That was a good one.
Y'all ready for some headlines?
Let's do it.
Always.
Not Pod Gazette here. We're going to start off with the headline. You tell me if it's true or false. Big Mac attack. A Wisconsin man keeps adding to his world record by eating Big Macs every single day for 2023 for a total, get this, 728. Don Gorski, who is 70 years old, has eaten over 34,000 Big Macs every day for over 52 years.
Oh, my gosh.
He says he has no plans of stopping. Is this true or false?
Well, I think his plans of not stopping are false because he will die of a giant heart attack at some point.
Oh, how dare you wish that upon Don
Gorski. I'm not wishing it. It's just going to happen. You can't eat a Big Mac every day, Don. I'm sorry. Okay? So your plan may not include stopping, but at some point you'll be stopping if you continue this. But I think it's a true story. I think and obviously I want him to live forever. I hope that he's in
great
shape.
He's made it to 70. I mean, with this.
He's only been doing this for what, you said, the last two, since 2023, right?
No, he's been doing it for 52 years.
So he's made it to 70. He's already playing with that story. He's playing with house money.
That's incredible.
I mean, really, he's been eating Big Macs a day for 52 years, and yet there are other things that we're told, you know, stay away from this, stay away from that.
Well, you're assuming this is a real headline.
I do. I believe it's a real headline. I believe
he's eaten a Big Mac every day for 52 years.
I believe it. I think this
is true. I think just logistically that's hard. Like, does the guy never go on vacation? Does he never?
There are McDonald's everywhere.
There's
a McDonald's on the moon soon. Yeah, I think it's. I think he's doing it. I think he's happy too. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll buy two. I'm going to say it's real.
His total is 34,128, which is a Guinness World Record. It should be completely true. Good job, guys. Here's a look.
That's him.
That's him. That's Don Gorski.
He looks like a Big Mac.
He looks good, though, for 70.
Look at his hair and his mutton chops. He's fantastic. Look at him.
He's got super long hair in the back, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
He says he doesn't eat fries, and he walks 6 miles a day.
Well, that helps.
Yeah, it
does
help.
To McDonald's?
He walks 6 miles to McDonald's, yeah.
I live 3 miles away from McDonald's, so.
Is McDonald's giving him something? I hope.
I don't know.
They should be, he should get a free one every day.
He doesn't have to pay for it anymore.
He said he started this streak when he started eating them every day and just threw the carton in the back. His back seat.
Right.
And then he started counting the cartons, and then he said, hey, I'm going to keep this going. May 17th, 1972 was when Don ate his first Big Mac.
And he still hasn't cleaned out his car. He got a bigger car to hold more of his cartons.
Yeah, he has cleaned out his colon a few times probably.
Well, that's another frustrating thing. This guy's in great colon health probably, and there are other people that – try to do everything right, and yet they end up with a bad diagnosis. But yeah, good for Don.
He's the you saw the picture show. You know, he's very happy.
He's the real Hamburglar.
Yeah, I think so.
Scarfing him down.
Well, good for him. All right, headline number two.
Headline number two: can't be licked. An Oregon woman has her son to thank for helping her set the world record for the largest tongue. Jenny Duvander says her son is a fanatic about Guinness Book of World Records, reading them constantly. He noticed that she had a rather girthy tongue and measured it, and sure enough, set the world record. True or false?
How much girth?
Let me check here. 5.21 inches around.
5.2 around?
Yes.
Around. Hang on, how does she close her mouth?
That's
bigger than a hockey puck. Around.
Yeah, it's like Jabba the Hutt's tongue.
I want to be clear. This photo we're looking at, this is not her, because she's got a little normal size.
Well, maybe that's just the very tip of it.
No, that's a standard shot. Okay. It's not her. Yeah.
I got to see this woman's tongue now.
I can't believe that. There's nobody that has 5.2. I don't even. What is the normal tongue girth? I'm going to guess.
Measure mine.
Hang on.
Couple inches.
I'm going to guess it's like maybe 2.5 inches. I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That's the normal.
I would think so.
So this is I mean, the mouth has to be huge, right?
How
do you speak? I mean, does she have any speech impediment?
This article did not say
if she's real.
Right. It would be like.
Yeah. Call Guinness. I got a big one here.
I'm sorry. What are you telling me to do?
Yeah. Call Guinness.
Write it down.
Wait, and you said her son encouraged her to do this.
Yes. Okay. That's what the article said.
That's specific.
Yeah. Well, the son, I don't think he would want his mother to further embarrass him. Right?
Hey, Mom,
could you go public with your giant freaky tongue?
You got a thick one. Why don't you? I think you could beat this. I think you could beat the record.
This is only 4.25. You got at least 5, Mom.
Put your python in there and let's see what we can get. Oh, I've got to say it's true because I just feel like it's true. The fact that you added the detail of the son encouraging her, I think this is true.
It's false. There's nobody that's playing whack-a-mole with their giant girthy tongue. I'm going to say no.
Duvander said that her son was reading the book last year and saw the category for the largest tongue. And as you can see, there it is.
Duvander's tongue has a circumference
of 5.21 inches, and it's the largest in the world.
It looks like she's got a cucumber coming out of her mouth.
Well, that's a world record.
It still doesn't
tongue.
Look like it's 5.2 inches.
Well.
All right, can we take that off the screen?
I'm not going to measure it myself. Let's trust Guinness on this one. Good job.
It's amazing the different categories they have. It's like you never knew that would be a thing.
How does that work at the dentist? Every time you go to the dentist, they're like, can you move your tongue? Your tongue's getting in my way. How does she get a cleaning?
She doesn't. Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, my gosh.
You ready for another one?
Yeah.
Headline 3. Hachoo. Kato's talking about allergies. An English man has sneezes.
Oh, that was a sneeze?
Well, it was supposed to be.
Okay, I bet.
Yeah, I didn't.
You were speaking Japanese for a while.
Hachoo.
A haiku?
A haiku, yes. Let's see. An English man
sneezes nonstop, continuously now, for 3 straight days, baffling doctors. Patrick Webster of Bournemouth, England, says the fits came on out of nowhere and ended just as quickly, but he ended up, get this, rupturing an eardrum along with blood vessels in his eyes.
Oh, no.
True or false? Sneezing nonstop for 3 straight days.
I think that has happened, but I feel like I'm playing the odds now because he's now gone out of the gates. Two true stories.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So I think we're due for a fake one. He doesn't know how to pronounce hachu.
Right. He says haku.
He said haiku. I think that's probably fairly common. Like, I bet people get in sneezing fits that last days. Like, I think that's probably.
I have one that lasted about a day.
Yeah.
I just couldn't
stop.
But
do you think you'd have enough force behind it to rupture blood vessels? And then what was the other thing?
An eardrum. He ruptured an eardrum and busted blood vessels. Now, get this. It was nonstop. It wasn't sneezing out and 20 minutes later you sneezed.
Oh, it was just continuous
sneezing. Continuous for 3 straight days. He could barely
breathe.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you'd be unconscious.
Yeah, you'd be dead. Yeah. Or I would just end it. I would end myself. I like if
what?
I could. Yeah, if I'm not like, please, I don't want to have the hiccups for 3 days. Anything. I'm not going to sneeze
well, like,
for 3 days.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Just plug your nose, dude. Like, if you plug
your nose.
Maybe
that's how he ruptured his eardrum.
No, but you wouldn't be sneezing because you're not. You only sneeze because you breathe in through your nose.
I sneeze through my mouth sometimes.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Who sneezes because of what they inhale through their mouth?
No,
it's through your nose.
Saying, no, you're saying you could stop the sneeze by plugging your nose.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes sneezes get brought on by, like, sunlight.
Who,
it does. The sunlight doesn't make you sneeze. It makes me sneeze.
What?
Yeah, you walk out. You're in a dark room or car, and you get outside. And,
and your car is covered with green dust, and the sun is just so bright.
It's the sun's,
fault.
Yeah.
I'm going to say false. Because I think if you constantly were sneezing like that, I think you would suffer a concussion. I think you'd have much more severe injuries.
Yeah, I would try to make myself unconscious. I'm going to say it's false because I feel like the brilliant writers at the Nodpod Gazette would not make the headline a chew. They would come up with something like, bless you. I think bless you would be more appropriate. This guy needs a blessing. So
yeah.
Bless you. I'll say false.
Oh, guys, it's false.
All right.
Okay.
Guys, so now you're just seeing if it's my writing or an actual writing. So
we're trying to, you already fooled me, so I think your writing's fine.
All right, here we go. The most lucky, unlucky man. A Russian man has been verified to have been struck by tiny meteorite particles for an incredible 7 times his entire life, surviving each one. I'll mess his name up. Grigory Velesevich lives in a region of Siberia that is a magnet for meteorites and has incurred injuries for the past 21 years, ranging from minor scrapes from meteorite dust to a fractured shoulder. True or false?
That was a good one that got him. What's his name?
Grigory Velesevich.
Yeah, I don't think you made that name up. I don't think Brian's capable of making that name. and this sounds right. It sounds about right. But I don't know why you're still living in Meteoriteville, dude. Like, get out of Dodge. Like, seriously.
Dodge. That's what they call it, Dodge.
All right, well, good luck with that. Yeah, he's clearly not doing that very well. But all it would take is, like, one to the head, right?
Yeah.
You take one to the head, you're toast.
He's playing with fire there.
Yeah, literally. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say it's true. Grigory Velesevich, he needs to...
This is the reason, you know, they always say you've got better odds of getting hit by a meteorite than you do of winning Powerball.
Depends.
It's because of him. He's shooting up the odds because he won't move and he won't get out of the way of the meteors. He's a magnet.
He's bragging about it.
Yeah. He's got, like, look at my shoulder. Took another one to the
specs.
I think it's true because I do believe I've read that there's this place in Siberia that's kind of a meteorite magnet.
Is
so.
There like an outfit you could wear? Like some type of
Spaceballs, a big helmet. Like the guy, what was his name?
Yeah.
Big helmet.
Lord Helmet.
Yeah, wear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is completely false.
Is it? You got us both.
But I bet there is some truth there.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of truth.
In what way?
There's part of Siberia that loves to attract.
No, that there's a guy named Grigory Velesevich.
I was proud of that.
Is that a hockey name?
I was trying to find hockey names, and I thought Joe would die.
I think kind of you're getting close to Andrei Vasilevsky, so yeah. I was thinking.
Nikita Bucherov has been hit by a hat trick of meteors. And
that was a good one.
That was good. Good writing.
Cool job. Appreciate it, guys.
We're done? Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Get out there and. 4:30 in the morning, a little newspaper run for BK. That is the Nodpod Gazette. Can I direct people back to the big next week? I think we're going
to
reveal.
We need to settle on a topic.
Okay. Next week we are going to reveal our seedings and our bracket for whatever the topic is. Last year was a cereal bracket.
Yeah.
This year we had a bunch of great submissions. But if you have a great idea, submit it to us. Hit us on the social media channels, or again, show up at Chris's house and. Or let BK know on his paper route, hey, this is what the best headlines are.
Breeds of dogs. Let's do breeds of dogs.
All right. If you would like to check out this here podcast, go to fox13news.com/nodpod. You can subscribe on the audio podcast form so it gets sent to your phone each and every week. If you have iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify, you can get yourself the No Off Days podcast each and every week sent straight to your phone. Well, that was a fun one. Until the next time we are on, Chris, there are no
never
off days.
Not one.
All right.